Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Come on, let's lift him up. Hallelujah. Oh, family, it's so good to see y'all.
Welcome home.
Thank you. It is good to be home and good to see you all. And certainly we honor the presence of the Lord here. For those I've not met, I'm Bishop Parnell M. Lovelace, Jr. I pastor the Center of Praise Ministries in Sacramento, right in the heart of Midtown. And it's so grateful to be home to this, my Bridgeway family. Y'all look good. Y'all look real good. And we certainly thank the Lord for our pastor, my dear brother, Pastor Lance, his lovely wife, Sister Susie, and my nieces. I thank God for, again, the wonderful relationship that we continue to share together as family. We are always going to be together. Isn't that right? Amen. And we thank the Lord for that. And so thank you all for such a beautiful welcome. Let's pray, and we're going to get right into the teaching. Father, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for my dear ones that have come and those that are watching. And we just thank you for all that you are doing. Will you, sir, give us clarity of thought, continuity of thinking, accuracy of the text? Help your servant to teach in such a way that even a child would be able to understand the wonderful revelation and truth that is given to us through Scripture. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the honor. We do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Our pastor has started us in a new series that we're going to be covering for now the next 26 weeks or so. A blueprint to breakthrough. We're studying the book of Romans, and it's exciting to see that we get to go through the book of Romans again. If you're a believer that's been in church any length of time like myself, you can appreciate the opportunity to go back and look at Romans once again. It is not unusual for this particular book, which is really foundational for the Christian faith, it is not unusual for us to spend time in it. And as Pastor Lance shared with you all, that we're taking our time through the Scripture, taking our time and just looking at it deeply. And again, so don't be one of those folks that say, oh, I've already read the book of Romans. I've already studied the book of Romans. Don't shut yourself off, because it is precept upon precept, line upon line, that God gives revelation. He begins to unfold even more. And sometimes you have to go back to the foundation, or go back to the instructions, or go back, as it were, to the blueprint when you're getting ready to advance, when you're getting ready to expand, when you're getting ready to renovate, when God is doing something in you. You have to look for the blueprint. Look for the blueprint so that you'll know how to follow course with that. Let me give an example of that. This time last week, I was there in Austin, Texas, and I was ministering that morning at a service and was headed home that night. There was one plane leaving out of Austin, and I wanted to make sure I got there on time. I got to the airport probably about 3 hours in advance, and then ended up getting on the plane. The plane was scheduled to take off at the right time. We were all ready to go. And so we're on the plane, and the plane is about to pull off, and the flight attendant comes over the intercom, and she says, flight attendants, arm doors, cross check. And I said, that's a good sign. That means we're getting ready to take off. And the plane started reversing and pulling out the gate. It came back just a few yards. We hadn't quite cleared the jet bridge when all of a sudden the flight attendant gets back on, and she says, flight attendants, unarmed doors, cross check. And I thought to myself, I've never heard them do that immediately. Now, I mean, when we're getting ready to land in the city that we're going to depart to, I've heard it, but I've never heard them do that right immediately. And I thought to myself, I perceive they're getting ready to open this plane. They're getting ready to do something. Well, of course, they did. They pulled back to the jet bridge. They opened the plane, opened the door, and there was a big burly, I mean, just tall, you know, heavy, looked like a football player, you know, came stepping through the door. He was muscular, you know, like me. He came up there, and he was stepping down the aisle, and he came down the aisle, and The flight attendants were standing there, and then the agent, the gate agent who checked us in, she got on the plane as well, and I noticed she was pointing to somebody. And the gentleman kept looking back, and he was as to say, is this the person? And she said, yeah, that's her. And all of a sudden, they took this lady and had her get her stuff, and they were escorting her off the plane. And, you know, I didn't know the full details. I didn't know what she had done. I don't know what the circumstances, but apparently, whatever she did, they didn't care for it. And they were moving her off the plane. And as they were moving her off the plane, she was going down the aisle, and she was fussing and cussing, and she was just going off. And she said, all because I wanted to move my seat, all because I wanted to change my seat. And she's just going off. Now, I don't know, again, I suspect there was something else happening. I suspect something else went down possibly even before she got on the plane. But whatever the case may be, I was glad that they handled it before we got in the air and she caused a disturbance and we could have been diverted to Iowa somewhere. I'm trying to get to Sacramento. It's a straight flight, you understand? So whatever the case might be, as they were taking her off and she was cussing and fussing, I was like, get her off. Get her off. And they got her off the plane. And then they proceeded to recount everybody. It took some time for them to do that, but they went back in their systems to do a full recount for one person, a full recount. So we were delayed for about maybe another 20 minutes or so while they were doing that. And then this is the part that caught me. This is the part that I was not aware of. The flight attendants, the first time, had already given us the emergency orientation. They stood in the aisle. You know how they do. They'll tell you where the exits are and so forth. And then they turn around and pull down the mask, and they do all of this and put it over their face. And they had already done that. But what was interesting to me, the flight attendant says, now we're going to redo all over again the emergency instructions. And I thought, now that's interesting. We've just gone through that 30 minutes ago. But she said, whenever we pull back to the gate, we have to do the orientation from the beginning, all over again. Why? Because there's been a disruption. Something has disrupted the course. So we have to do it. Here it is. We have to start from the beginning and do it all over again. May I suggest to you that this study of Romans, even if you've heard the orientation before, I suggest to you that God is getting ready to do something else with us and through us. So he's saying, let's start all over again with the orientation so that you and I can expand, you and I can grow and trust that we can also be transformed, and beloved, we'll get our breakthrough. Come on, can we praise God for a breakthrough that's coming for us? A breakthrough. Write this down, if you will, please. Write this down. We are all saved for something. We are all saved, each one of us. We are all saved for something. I follow up with how Pastor challenged us. Are we living out what God has saved us for? Are we living out what God has saved us for? Because here it is, beloved, I believe we're not only just saved from sin, but we are saved to carry out the culture or the life of the kingdom of God. I'll say that again. We're not just saved from sin, but we have been saved to do the work of the kingdom. We pick it up here in verse 8, Romans 1, verse 8. First, I thank my God, the Apostle Paul says, through Jesus Christ, for all of you because of your faith, because your faith, rather, is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. that without ceasing, I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. This is that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I've often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you, as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation, Paul says. I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Let's stop there for just a moment. Let me give you once again some review of the historical cultural context of what is happening here, as Pastor laid it out for us on last week. First of all, we know that this is the Apostle Paul who is writing this. We know to whom he is writing. He is writing to the Church of Rome, or the Roman Church. He's writing to this church that is composed both of Jewish believers and Gentile believers. In other words, it's a very multicultural church. It has various contexts to it, various people groups that make up this great church of Rome. Now, we know that when Paul writes this, he's writing from Corinth. And we note that he has said here that he longs to come and preach and be with the people. We'll talk about that in just a moment. We also know that this early church, or this church of Rome, came about during a time in which the gospel was being preached, although Paul himself was not the founder or the one who planted the church. In fact, little is known about who actually planted the Church of Rome. Apparently, it came as a result of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, in which there were people from Rome who went back and began to share the gospel, and the church began to explode with growth. But keep in mind, it was made up of, again, Jewish believers and also Gentile followers as well. But at some point, there was conflict that began to take place between the Jews in Rome and Jewish Christians. So the Emperor Claudius decided he was going to expel all of the Jews from Rome. Everybody who identified either as a Jewish person or as one who was a Jewish believer, a Christian, they were all expelled. But 5 years later, these Jewish believers began to come back to Rome, and they would find they came back to Rome in which, by this time, the church had taken on its leadership and most of its direction primarily from Gentiles. And the Gentiles were heavily influenced by the Roman culture. And this is where the conflict comes in. As these Jewish believers come back 5 years later after being expelled, they come back into Rome to find a church that has been led, that has been developed under Gentile leadership. And the people began to clash. The cultures began to clash. There was a struggle that began to take place between the people. And as a result, Paul's goal now, he writes this address to address this, this letter, to address this divide and to prepare them for his visit. Now, to our knowledge, Paul would only come to Rome twice. To our knowledge, he would only come twice. The first time he would come, he would be under house arrest. The second time that he would come to Rome, he would be in prison, and ultimately, it would lead to his death. But at the time that he writes this particular letter or epistle, he is using it as an opportunity to encourage the people of God, to encourage the saints that are there in Rome. In fact, I love how he puts this. He says, first, I thank God through Jesus that your faith, the faith of you, the church, the faith of you, the believers, it is being proclaimed all over the world. In other words, you are doing some things because of your faith. There are some things that are happening despite challenges, despite at times discord, at times there is tension. God has still chosen to use you. And as a result, people all over are talking about what God is doing in Rome. Can I make this personal to you, family? I submit to you that like Rome, God is doing something here at Bridgeway Christian Church. May I submit to you that your faith, the faith that is resonating in the hearts of the people that are in this room, is going out throughout the region. People are hearing about you. People are hearing what's going on here. They're hearing that people are able to come into Bridgeway Christian Church. And not only is there a tremendous worship experience, but also the word of God is being preached with authority, that lives are being transformed, that people are being delivered, that people are being set free, that when you come to Bridgeway Church, they will pray for you, and they yet believe that God does miracles. They yet believe that God delivers and gives breakthrough. Somebody ought to praise God that your faith is known. Your faith is known. You're not just sitting anywhere, but you're sitting in a divine place that has God's hand upon it. You're sitting in a place that the Holy Spirit is at liberty to do what he wants to do in this place. We've not put any boundaries up. We've come in to say, Lord, whatever you want to do, don't do it without us. We want to be in the middle of it. We want to be in the middle of what you're doing in this region, in this state, in this nation, in this world. God, use us. That's a powerful belief and a powerful place to be. Like Paul, Bridgeway, your faith is being made known. And he says, listen, I serve the Lord without ceasing, declaring the gospel. And as a result of this, I am without ceasing praying for you. I'm praying for you, church. I'm praying for you. The road ahead has its challenges, but continue to do what Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Like that, I'm like Paul, y'all. I pray for y'all. I've been gone from this church, actively serving here for nearly 7 years. For nearly 7 years after being here with you 4.5 years. It's unbelievable. I'm coming back and folk got babies that didn't have babies. I'm coming back and babies now are teenagers. It's amazing what is happening in that regard. But I can tell you, despite the fact that I've not been in your midst outside of coming maybe once a year, I do not cease, my wife and I, to pray for you, to lift you up before the Lord and ask Holy Spirit to keep moving in your midst. Paul says, I have not ceased to mention you in my prayers. And I long to see you. I long to see you. He says, why? So that I may come and impart a spiritual gift to strengthen you. That I may impart spiritual gift to strengthen you. And then he tells you what that spiritual gift is. That I may and you may, that we may be mutually encouraged by one another. That's the spiritual gift, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. In other words, he says, I just want to get in your midst so that some of your faith can rub off on me and some of my faith can rub off on you. I want to be in your midst so that we can have a mutual encounter with the Holy Spirit, that we can have a mutual touch of God that moves in this place. Beloved, this is interesting because it gives us an idea of how we must approach even coming into this room. When we come into this room, some of you got up this morning and you got dressed and you came here and you thought in your mind, I'm coming to get my blessing. I'm coming to get something from God. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what will happen when all of us move beyond just coming to get our blessing, but we come here to be a blessing? What will happen when we realize I'm not coming merely to get something, but I'm coming to give something? I'm coming so that people in this room, that when we sit next to each other, walk in the building with each other, we are mutually encouraging one another, mutually lifting up one another, mutually letting everyone know, no matter what you're going through, everything's gonna be all right. Come on and give God some praise if you believe that's the heart that God has for us. I didn't come here just to get a blessing. I came here to be a blessing. I didn't come here just so you could be encouraged by me, but I came here so I can be encouraged by you. You came here so that the person sitting to your right, your left, in front of you, behind you, could encourage you and let you know that you're not the only one that's going through something. You're not the only one that's facing challenges in your family, facing challenges in your resources. But we came in this room to let everyone know that the same God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he will never fail us. He will never fail us. He will never fail us. He is with us now to minister to each and every heart. Let me again give some thought to this of how we can unpack this a little bit more. Because what Paul is talking about is the culture of the kingdom. Let me say it again. He is talking about the culture of God's kingdom, the kingdom culture. He's talking about a different way of living. He's talking about preparing yourself to live a lifestyle of breakthrough. That breakthrough is not just what happens on Sunday morning, but breakthrough is what happens every day of our life. Every day we see Holy Spirit doing some miraculous and powerful things, both towards us, for us, and through us. The kingdom culture exemplifies five things I want to leave with you. Please write them down. The kingdom culture exemplifies, here it is, number one, God's grace is for all people. Let me say it again. God's grace is for all people. That's why Paul says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. He says, I want to get to Rome because there's a harvest. I want to get to Rome because there's low-hanging fruit. I want to get to Rome because your faith has stirred up some things and men and women are ready to come to the Lord Jesus. I want to get to Rome so that I can spread the good news. So again, beloved, if we're to be those who exemplify the kingdom of God, similar to what Paul was referencing here in Romans chapter 1, it must be that we emphasize without hesitation and without apology that God's grace is for all people. God's grace is for everyone. God's grace is not exclusive. God's grace is not limited. When we say God's grace, we're talking about all of God's ability, all of God's power, all of who he is that he extends to us. It's for everyone. It's for the black man, the white woman, the red man, the yellow woman. It's for the poor. It's for the rich. It's for the Republican. It's for the Democrat. It's for the independent. It's for the people living in Granite Bay. It's for the people living in Lincoln. It's for the people living in Roseville. It's for the people in Meadowview. It's in the people living in Florida or Florin. It's for the people in Rancho Cordova. It's for everyone. God's grace, all of his power is for everybody. I don't care how far we have fallen. I don't care how far we have messed up. I don't care what the addiction may be. I don't care what the brokenness may be. God's grace is available to you. God's grace is for everyone. That's why, Bridgeway, please do not Please do not, I'll say it again, please do not dismiss your identity in Christ. Please do not dismiss your identity as a ministry in this region. Please do not allow yourselves to be people that get saturated so much with the word that you get full and tight as a tick, but you don't allow yourself to spread what God is doing in this place. Everybody ought to know that Jesus is here. Everybody ought to know that the Holy Spirit is here. Everybody ought to know that there's deliverance in the room. Everybody ought to know that there's healing available to them. Everybody ought to know that we serve a God who delivers and breaks addictions. Come on and give God praise if you believe it. Now I feel like preaching. Everybody needs to know that the grace of God is available to him. No one should walk through this parking lot and come in wondering, will I be welcomed here? Nobody should drive up on this property and wonder, will these people love me? Will these people care for me? If you say you love God, then you must care for the woman and the man that is standing in front of you. I don't care if they don't look like you. I don't care if they don't smell like you. They are your brother. They are your sister. We are called to do what we're called to do because this is a place where God's grace is for all people. The kingdom culture exemplifies that God's grace is for all people. But secondly, the kingdom culture that we exemplify declares that righteousness, here it is in Jesus Christ alone. Righteousness is in Jesus Christ alone, not in my works, not in your works, not in your abilities, not in all the good things that you think you do. That is not where your righteousness lies. Righteousness means we have been made right. Righteousness means we have been declared. You don't make yourself right. He makes you right. We are right only in him. Righteousness is in Christ alone. Oh, children, when I think about this, I think about Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 that declares very candidly, in our weakness, not our strength, but in our weakness, God demonstrates his love that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, not while we were yet righteous, because we weren't, but while we were abandoned, forsaken in our sin, Christ died for each and every one of us. That's why I say without hesitation, I'm so glad that I am safe and eternally secure in Christ because I did not come to Christ and did not receive the good news or receive Christ based upon my strength. Let me say it again. I didn't become a believer based upon my strength. Let me say it again. I did not be a believer based upon my strength. I was weak. I did not know, but when I heard the good news, I responded to it. I responded to the gospel. Therefore, it is not my strength that saved me. Therefore, nor can my weakness undo what God has done. Oh, let me say it again. My strength did not save me, nor can my weakness undo what he's done. His strength saved me. Oh, we need to know that today. I know I hear people, it's been a long debate in the body of Christ where people talk about, are you suggesting that we are eternally secure? Listen, the only way I plan to respond to that, I'd rather be eternally secure than to be eternally insecure. I'd rather be in a place that I know that nothing can snatch me out of the hand of God. Even in my own weakness, even in my own frustration, I must be quite real with you, beloved, that this week when I had a car cut me off on the freeway, I wasn't acting as a saint. I wasn't acting as a believer. When they cut me off, I had a few choice words. But I'm so glad that I'm saved. I'm so glad. Holy Spirit said, now you know that was ugly. You know you didn't have to do that. And I said, but God, he cut me off. Holy Spirit corrected me. I'm so glad that when I sin, not if, but when I sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. So again, The kingdom culture must emphasize and exemplify God's grace is for all people, Bridgeway. Righteousness is in Jesus Christ alone. But thirdly, here's a little messy one. Unity is the calling of every believer. Unity is the calling of every believer. It gets messy. It gets messy because when you bring people together of all different walks of life, all different backgrounds, all different ethnicities, it can get real messy. But we are committed to being people of unity. We are committed to being people who walk together so that our faith is made known throughout this region. That's who we are. That's who we are. Listen, me serving God and walking with God and being a believer does not take away from the beauty of my culture, the beauty of our ethnicities, the beauty. I tell people all the time, we're not meant to be a melting pot. A melting pot loses all of its distinctions, but rather we're called to be a stew. You can be a carrot, you can be a tomato, you can be a lettuce, you can be this, you can be that, but when we come together and the Holy Spirit moves upon us, we are good. There is a stew that is in this house. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? I embrace all of my blackness. Hear me? I embrace all of my blackness. I embrace it fully. I love the way we raise our families. I love the way that we have a passion for God. I love the way we cook our food. I love the way we'll walk down the street and see each other, black folks, and we'll see each other and don't even need to know each other. And we'll say, what's up? And we don't have to know each other, but there's a connection. There's a connection that we share. I love all of that. But beloved, more importantly, as much as I love my culture, as much as I love my ethnicity, I love being in the kingdom of God. I love being in the family of God. I love being able to share the diversity of my brothers and sisters. Come on, shout out loud, say kingdom first. Kingdom first. The kingdom of God. Unity is a calling for every believer. I'm almost done. The kingdom culture exemplifies God's grace for all people. The kingdom culture exemplifies righteousness is to everyone through Jesus Christ alone. The kingdom culture exemplifies unity is the calling of the believer. It also exemplifies faith is the foundation. Faith is our foundation, beloved. We as the people of God who are moving into a blueprint of breakthrough, we are standing on the word of faith and believing God at his promises. And we are a community of breakthrough believers, a community of breakthrough believers. There's a woman that's in this church, and approximately a year or so ago, a couple of years ago, she was at her job. And this particular woman, who's a part of you all, this family here, she was on her job. She was not serving the Lord. She was not attending Bridgeway. And she had just lost her husband. Her husband had passed away. And she was on her job, and one of you in this place dared to move out of your comfort zone and go to her and say, I'm not gonna wait any longer to share my faith. And you shared your faith with this woman. This woman told me face to face. She said, I was in a very dark place. I was in a place where I wasn't serving God. I wasn't going to church. I was in a dark place. But somebody on the job from Bridgeway came up to me and said, let me pray for you. And you prayed for her. And in the course of praying for her, God softened her heart. She received the Lord Jesus Christ. She came to Bridgeway Church. She got baptized here at Bridgeway Church, and she is serving the Lord right now. I dare you not to give God some praise. You ain't praising him hard enough. I dare you not to give God some praise. She's serving God because one of you dared to represent the kingdom culture and move out of your comfort. Come on, look at somebody, act like you're at Center of Praise. Say, what are you waiting for? Go ahead and tell somebody, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Verse 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God, in what? The gospel. In the gospel. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. He says, did you catch this? He says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. That first faith is for salvation. We believed through faith and we received the grace of God that brought us salvation. That's the first faith. But you don't stop with the first faith. He says, the righteousness of God, the right standing you have with God, is from faith, salvation, for faith. That's the lifestyle of faith, living out faith. Your first faith is to get you into the kingdom. But your second faith is so that you can manifest the kingdom, that you can live out the kingdom, that you can declare the kingdom. God did not save you, children, just to give you fire insurance. I'll say it again. He didn't save you just to give you fire insurance. He saved you so that the faith that it took for you to receive God's grace, you can say, now, that's the first faith, but now I move from faith for faith so that someone else can come and know Jesus as Lord. What are you waiting for? Give God some praise in this house. Stand to your feet. Lift those hands with me. Can I bless you before we go? Let me just bless you. What are you waiting for? You got some folks on your job, in your neighborhood, in your family, at the school. You need a breakthrough. They need a breakthrough. Put those hands up. God wants to do breakthrough through you, family of God. You hear me? Through you. Know who you are in Jesus. Stop down talking yourself. Know who you are in the Lord. I trust in God, my Savior, the one, come on, who will never fail. He will never fail. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one. He will never fail. He will never fail. Oh, I sought the Lord. Come on. I sought the Lord, and he heard. And he answered. Oh, I sought the Lord. Oh, I sought the Lord.
And he heard, and he answered.
That's why.
That's why I
come on. That's why. Oh, I sought the Lord. Sing it out.
And he heard, and he answered.
Yes, I sought the Lord.
And he heard, and he answered.
Oh, I sought the Lord.
And he heard, and he answered.
That's why. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never
fail.
Oh, he will never fail. Oh, I trust in God,
my Savior,
the one who will never
fail.
Come on, children. We got to go, but sing it one last time. I sought the Lord. Come on, sing it out. Oh, 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 oh. I sought the Lord. What'd you do? I sought the Lord. Oh, 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 oh. I sought the Lord. What's your response? That's why I trust him.
That's why.
Oh, I sought the Lord. What'd he do?
And he heard.
Oh, I sought the Lord.
And he heard.
Yes, I sought. What'd he do?
And he heard.
That's why. Come on, let's take it home. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior. Hallelujah. Everything is going to be all right. Don't you worry, children. Live out your faith. Oh, I trust in God. I say, He will never, never. Let me bless you. I don't care what's going on. There is in this room, this very moment, and it's exemplifying of the kingdom of God. There's some mutual faith that is encouraging us in this house. I'm not just making this up, but God is up to something in Bridgeway Church. You are in the right place at the right time. Thanks be unto God who gives us victory. Children, love one another. Children, be examples of Jesus in the earth. Be his hands, be his feet. Be his mouth. Don't just do church. Be the church. Be the church. For these next 26 weeks in this series, go as deep as you need to go into this study of Romans. When Pastor and the team get through preaching, go home and study the scriptures over and over and over, and let that word come alive in you. Let that word come alive in you. Be on fire for God. Let the world know. Holy Spirit is sending revival and is moving, not just in this house, but in this city. So in Jesus' name, I declare peace, joy, strength, and here it is, breakthrough. Breakthrough in Jesus' name. Prayer team, come on up. The prayer team's gonna be up here. I love y'all. Go out there and reach the world for Jesus. God bless you.